إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All praise and glory belongs to Allah. We thank Him and we seek His help and His guidance and His pleasure and His forgiveness and His protection from the evil whispers of our inner selves, our egos, and the awful consequences that would result from that. For whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah leaves astray without guidance, no one can guide. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah alone, the true Supreme King, alone without any partners. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was his servant and his prophet and his messenger, whom he sent as a mercy to the worlds. O believers, have the taqwa of Allah. Keep conscious of Allah. Uphold your duties to Allah in the manner that He deserves. And do not die except in a state of complete and total surrender to Allah azza wa jal, a state of Islam, where you surrender to everything He decrees by being patient, by enduring and being content, and surrendering to everything He legislates of rules by accepting them and trying your best to implement them. Do not get caught off guard by death except in that state. To begin, after welcoming my brothers and sisters in Islam to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and all praise and thanks belongs to Allah for the blessing of Islam, it's enough of a blessing. And then the month of Ramadan, where we can connect with Him on a higher level. And wallahi, there is no greater favor Allah conferred upon the insan, the human being, than granting him access to Him. He favored us in our form and in our stature and in our intellect. But above and beyond all of that is He created, think about it, a creature that is tiny, that is temporary, that is limited, finite, and He gave him the ability to recognize, to identify, to have access to a God that is grand and enormous, a God that is eternal, a God that is unlimited and infinite. How can that even work? That is a gift from Him to us. And whomever took advantage of this gift lived the best of lives in both worlds, the prophets and the pious. They are a people that they could not help but fall head over heels in love with Allah once they tapped that button, and they chose to take advantage of that opportunity. They found themselves enslaved to adoring Him and willing to sacrifice anything easily to please their Creator. And they found themselves content with whatever came from Him. What a beautiful life these people had. Every time you saw them, they would remind you of Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَوْلِيَاءُ الَّذِينَ إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. These slaves who took advantage of access, divine access, they are those that whenever you see them, Allah the Most High is remembered. Because when they speak for Allah. And when they are silent, they remind you of Allah by their silence. And when they act, they're acting for Allah. And when they refrain from acting, that's also for Allah. So at any given moment, whenever you see them, you remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These are a people that were not fazed by whatever life had destined for them. They were not fazed by fears. They were not fazed by exhaustion. And look at the prophets just quickly. Can you imagine a man being attacked by a wild animal? In fact, in an instant being swallowed by an animal in the middle of the ocean, as Yunus alayhi salam was. And he has the sense of mind to be calm and collected, as if he wasn't even there, for his heart was not there. His heart remained attached to the heavens, circling around the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. He calls out in the darknesses, Allah says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Do you know what that means? None is worthy of being recognized, even at this moment. except you, glorified you are. Glorified you are above holding grudges, O Allah. Glorified you are above not hearing me in the depths of these darknesses. Glorified you are above breaking your promises when you said you would forgive those that asked forgiveness. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. It was me, I messed up, it was my fault. In that moment, to be calm and collected, to connect like that, this is something out of this world. This was a gift to them, and whoever tried to be like them. Look at the description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Allah tells him these mentions of the prophets, he says, and you too, O Muhammad, tawakkal ala al-aziz al-rahim. Put your trust totally in the most mighty, the most loving and compassionate and merciful. Alladhi yaraka hina taqoom wa taqallubaka fi as-sajidin. The one who watches you as you stand up out of your bed, as you rise, and as you move about among those that are prostrating. To make that image a little clearer, in Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I rose in the night and I didn't find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I sent my hands out looking for him. Tafaqaduhu, she says, and my hands fell on his two feet as he was in sujood. So his feet were standing, my hands landed on his heels as he was on his face in the ground crying and saying, listen, internalize this dua. He says, وَأَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِمُعَافَاتِكَ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ لَا أُحْصِي ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. O Allah, I seek protection in your pleasure from your anger, and in your pardon from your punishment. It's all from you to you. His life revolves around him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I seek refuge in you from you. I cannot compliment, praise you enough. You are as you have praised yourself. Aisha radiallahu anha says, at that moment, I said, bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulallah, anta fi sha'nin wa ana fi sha'nin akhar. May my mother and my father be ransomed for you. Meaning, may I be given an opportunity. This expression means, may I be given an opportunity to show you how much you truly mean to me, that I would even trade my parents for you. May my mother and my father be ransomed for you. You are somewhere and I am somewhere completely different. I get up in the middle of the night concerned where my husband is. And you're up in the middle of the night concerned about your status in front of your Creator and your Lord. A completely different life. Their bodies are here and their hearts as if they're not. Compare that with the lifestyle we live today, with this insane degree of individualism, where our lives revolve around ourselves and satisfying what we want and getting it immediately and now. You know, it's what is called narcissism, medically speaking, when someone thinks his life is bigger than life itself. When you have a meal, you have to take a picture of it. This is a disorder that everyone has, so we stop calling it a disorder. Everyone needs to know what I'm eating and approve of it. And then I do a hairdo and I take a picture. And I'm on a certain bridge and I take a picture. So everyone is going to be talking about me. And in reality, no one is even thinking about happiness anymore. Their sole worry, they're settling now for simply convincing the world that they're happy. That's it. That's enough. This is how underachieving we've become in that regard. Because when your life revolves around you, this is how it tastes. You have no purpose. You have no enjoyment. And imagine the misery. You're not enjoying it, nor can you ever let go of it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Look at the most accomplished people on the face of the earth. Go read the recent ESPN article. The girl that everyone thought had it all, she jumps off a parking lot building and kills herself. We thought that way because this is how we market ourselves to the world, because we know we're hollow on the inside. So before they come investigating and inspecting us, our personality, we offer it. We have PR for ourselves with social media now. Compare that once again with the first picture. People that lived with a sweetness inside them. Allah granted them a certain secret within because they actualized. La ilaha illallah. None is worthy of being recognized but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, when they took advantage of that, Allah made them number one, an asset to humanity. May Allah make us and you that. Say ameen. And then He gave them His company for eternity. Meaning He allowed them to feel, to live, to experience this nearness to Him immediately and forever. Even the day they die, death to the likes of these people is nothing but an upgrade in their relationship with Allah. Nothing but an upgrade in how near they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they enjoyed the best of this life, knowing Allah, loving Him, yearning to meet Him, and they enjoy the best of this life. What is better than paradise even, being with Allah forever and getting to see Him. And these people exist and will continue to exist. And I want to speak about for the rest of the khutbah, how do we become of them? They existed in the previous nations and they existed in this ummah. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, there used to be a man from the people before you that said, لَأَتَصَدَّقَنَّ اللَّيْلَةَ بِصَدَقَةً. I'm surely going to give a charity today. So he goes out in the night so nobody sees him. He's not looking to be recognized. He wants to impress, or shall I say, to look praiseworthy in the sight of his Lord. He wants the praise of his Lord, not the praise of the creatures. The temporary, tiny, insignificant, created from dust, returned to dust creatures. And so he goes out in the night, hiding, and places it in the first hand that he finds. Of course, the first hand that he found, who was out at night? A thief. And so he found the people saying in the morning, rumors going about, تُصُدِّقَ اللَّيْلَةَ عَلَى سَارِقٍ. Someone gave sadaqah, charity to a thief. He said, Alhamdulillah ala sariq. It was for Allah. Alhamdulillah. For a thief. The next night he says, I'm going to give a charity. He didn't have to. But he's dealing with Allah on a completely higher level. He's showing him that so long as I can, I will. This is where we need to have that mental shift. He places it in the hands. Allah destines. Allah's doing this for a reason. He's managing his life in this way. He misses over and over again. The second day he puts a charity in the hands of a prostitute who's out at night selling her chastity, and he is the one giving her money without getting anything in exchange. So the people in the morning are spreading this rumor, laughing. Did you hear that? Some guy gave a prostitute money and got nothing for it last night. He said, Alhamdulillah for a prostitute. لَأَتَصَدَّقَنَّ اللَّيْلَةَ بِصَدَقَةً. I'm going to give a charity today. He goes out and Allah causes him to miss the mark again, because Allah wants that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he places it in the hands of a rich man, and the people in the morning said, تُصُدِّقَ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى غَنِيٍّ. Last night, somebody gave charity to someone that has more money than him. And he said, Alhamdulillah ala ghani. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ قِيلَ لَهُ. And then it was said to him, as if Allah sent him a dream to reassure him. As for the thief, maybe he will repent. As for the prostitute, maybe she will become chaste. And as for the rich person, maybe he will donate. Look, he tried to save their dunya, to give them a bite to eat, the poor. And Allah had something better in store for him, that he saved people's hereafter. Maybe the thief becomes ashamed. Maybe the prostitute did not need to, but she was forced into this lifestyle to feed her kids. Maybe this rich person will become embarrassed. How can I not be giving? How can I not be sacrificing? But that's not all. Look at the barakah of connecting with Allah. Allah reveals this story to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can say it 1400 years later on the mimbar all over the ummah, and he becomes a source of inspiration for everybody. For a deed that he tried to hid, Allah made it known. He made him an asset to humanity. Likewise, in the time of this ummah, it existed as well. In Sunan al-Nasa'i, Shaddad ibn al-Had radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that a man came and gave bay'ah, pledge of allegiance, became Muslim with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as soon as he did, it was time for battle. So they went off and Allah granted them victory, and when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dividing the spoils, what the other army left behind, this man was not present, so he sent him his share. So he brought his share back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, مَا عَلَى هَذَا اتَّبَعْتُكَ. I didn't follow you for this. I didn't become one of your followers for this. He says, then why did you become one of my followers? قَالَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُرْمَى هَاهُنَا. To be shot with an arrow right here. He points at a fatal spot in his neck. He says to him, أُصْدُقِ اللَّهَ يَصْدُقَّ. Be truthful to Allah. Allah will be truthful to you. He will make true your every wish. He will show your truthfulness. Notice, he could have taken it. And it was halal for him to take it. And you have a desire inside you to accept it. It's property, it's money, it's not haram in and of itself. The Messenger of Allah himself is the one giving it. And the greater Sahaba took it. But he was just afraid. He was afraid later the intention would get messed up. He would start doing it for ulterior motives, not for Allah later. This is how caring they were about longing for Allah. They were afraid of anything to mess with their spiritual frequency, anything to give them blurriness in their insight. And the next battle begins later on, some time passes. They carry him back to the Prophet ﷺ with an arrow right where he pointed. The Prophet ﷺ almost could not believe it. He said, "Ahuwa huwa, that's him. That's the same guy that said that." He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, it's him." He said, "Sadaqallah, fa sadaqahu Allah. He has been truthful to Allah. So Allah has been truthful to him. He, oh Allah, I testify that he has believed in you and followed your messenger and died a shaheed, a martyr in that. Wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin. And I myself personally testify to that being true." Be truthful to Allah, he is truthful to you. You know, when the Muslims, some of them did not have the ability to give up anything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, one of them goes home crying that he couldn't. Can you imagine what kind of generation this was? One of them goes home and refuses to accept no for an answer. And he says, "Oh Allah, I have nothing to give to your messenger in this cause, this expedition. So allow me to give my ird, my reputation, my honor as charity for your sake." This was narrated in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. "Whoever has wronged me or my family or my children or taken from my wealth, I have donated my rights for the day that I will become poor. For the day of judgment." The next morning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says what? He says, "Man al-mutasaddiq al-bariha?" Who donated last night? And nobody donated. And this man doesn't even know, like, is this even allowed? Can a person donate reputation? Like, does this even work? He was just trying it. That's how eager he was, but he wasn't sure. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated it time and time again, the guy is like, "I did offer something last night. Ana Rasulullah. I tried something." He said, "لَقَدْ كُتِبَتْ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ الْمُتَقَبَّلَةِ." It has been written among the charities that have been accepted. Why? Because of the heart that it came from. A heart that longed to please its creator. Did whatever it could to try to please. You know the hadith we hear every Ramadan? إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Fasting is especially for me. And that is why I will give the reward for that. There's no designated reward in the Quran and Sunnah for fasting. It's not just fasting. The reason is he told us why fasting. Because it's purely for me. That means whoever else does something purely for Allah, fasting is more likely to be purely for him. That's why it's mentioned. But whoever else performs an act like that, the reward cap is removed as well. That's why the hadith says, a good deed is 10 times, to 700 times, to many fold more. When? When is it 10? When is it 700? When is it many fold more? It depends on this. We get up and pray now. We get up and donate in Ramadan. Everyone's collecting their funds. We go through a certain difficulty or another. Two people can go through the exact same test. But don't think they're the same in the sight of Allah. Don't think the people getting up to pray these two rak'ahs of Jumu'ah now are all going to be equal in their reward in the sight of Allah. It's not like that at all. It's based on your circumstances, inside and out. This is how Allah calculates it. Because if our destiny was based on our circumstances, it wouldn't be fair. This guy was able to donate for the battle, O Messenger of Allah. I wasn't able. How is that fair? So it's not just about that. Rather, it is your intention that determines your destiny in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. That determines how high you rank, if you get saved or not. A disbeliever spends eternity in the fire. Many times the youth ask, "I don't get it. Why?" Because he intended on being a disbeliever forever. Allah just stopped that with death. A believer put up with iman until he died. That means he would have continued putting up. It's the intention that determines it all. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Moving forward, I wish to highlight quickly before the end of this khutbah that this matter is not just the determining factor for your reward. it will also determine your success rate. Example, look at the Sahaba and their da'wah. Like, what do you mean Abu Bakr as-Siddiq goes out on the first day and gets five legends of Islam? Not just like, think of how hard it is for you to transform your child, your co-worker, your community, and your masjid. We failed. What is your turnaround? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq gets Zubayr ibn Awam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Uthman ibn Affan, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, legends. All of them, their own respective legends. They all had their own da'wah, their own jihad, their own donation, their own country, their own scholarship, all of them. How? What did he say to them? How did he convince them? How did this happen one day? How in the world does Mus'ab ibn Umayr, a young lad, go to Medina and basically in 1 year, turn a whole country Muslim? What's our Prophet margin in our da'wah? What is our turnaround? What Sahabi do you know has done what I did? I pray Fajr in Brooklyn and I pray Jumu'ah in Florida. Look how much access, look how many opportunities. But what's our turnaround? How many of the Sahaba have a video on YouTube? How many of the Sahaba ever went to a conference? How many of the Sahaba ever wrote a book? None. And look at their da'wah. Because it's not about that. Allah delivers. He immortalizes statements. He immortalizes effort. Based on that, He doesn't just see what you're doing. He sees through you as well. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma becomes the greatest scholar of Quranic interpretation ever. Why? Read his biography. He used to say, وَإِنِّي لَأَمُرُّ عَلَى الْآيَةِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَأَتَمَنَّ أَنَّ كُلَّ النَّاسِ فَأَوَدُّ أَنَّ كُلَّ النَّاسِ يَعْلَمُونَ مِنْهَا مَا أَعْلَمُ. Every time I pass by a verse in the book of Allah, I sincerely wish that all the people knew about it what I know. He really wanted the guidance of those around him. The imams understood this secret as well. What made Imam Malik who he was? You know, Imam Malik rahimahullah has a small collection of a hadith, relatively small, called al-Muwatta, his collection. When he put this Muwatta together, the Abbasid Khalifa comes and says, can I take your book and impose it on all the provinces? Like, it's going to be the official book of Islamic law in every town and every courtroom. He told him, don't do it. Look, he didn't seek the people, nor did he even accept when other people were going to put him in front. Because he felt like there was no need for that, except himself. And he refused to give his personality a greater right than the preservation of the religion. He would not preserve his personality. He said, the Sahaba have dispersed, they all have their own set of narrations, their own understandings. No, do not take my book and do that with it. And then the people would come to him, and they would tell him, why do you put this book together? You're the only guy that puts hadith books together. There are books so much bigger than yours. People so much more knowledgeable than you. You know what he said? He understood. He said, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ يَبَقَى. Whatever is purely devoted to Allah, it will remain. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, and there is no book after the book of Allah more authentic than the Muwatta Imam Malik rahimahullah. You may think, why don't we know about it too much these days? Because Allah Azza wa Jal destined to hide His name for a wisdom that He knows a bit, though His name is not hidden. But that book, we don't read it as much. We hear Bukhari and Muslim are the most authentic books, yes? Almost every single hadith in the Muwatta, Bukhari and Muslim, or both, put it in their books. Al-Shafi'i was the same way. He used to say, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَتَعَلَّمُونَ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ وَلَا يُنْسَبْ إِلَيَّ حَرْفٌ مِّنْهُ. I wish people would learn these things and not a letter would be credited back to me. He honestly wanted to educate, instruct the people about their Lord and how to worship Him, who Allah was and how to devote your lives to Him. So Allah made the sciences of Islam dependent on the likes of these people. There were more than four madhahib, but Allah destined that these remain because He knew something about them. This is what we expect of Allah. This is what we are taught about by Allah. Where is your place in this equation? Don't think this was in the past. Don't think this khutbah is about a fundraiser. Sure, people come in Ramadan and they expect to get above and to get above their choking line, if you will, or to get their projects on board and to get things moving forward with some momentum. This is true and they should. And people wait for Ramadan to make their donations. But how much does it mean to you, the amount that you sacrifice? The month of Ramadan, when a person enters the masjid, you're going to turn to him, ask him his see these things, see the donation, see the new these are doors of Jannah Allah sent my way. You know that famous hadith that Abu Bakr outdid Umar when Umar thought he was going to do more than Abu Bakr and he gave half? The hadith begins by saying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for charity, for sadaqah. فَوَافَ مَالًا عِنْدِي And it coincided, it just so happened that I had some money that day. He was so excited that he could put his money where his mouth is. No more claims. I actually have a chance in his mind to beat Abu Bakr. I'm going to give half of this treasure to Abu Bakr. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمْ جَمِيعًا I'm going to give half of this treasure. That's going to be more than Abu Bakr. May Allah be pleased with them. I want to give you an example nowadays to encourage you to take this matter very seriously. There is a man that perhaps no one in this masjid knows. But every single person has either been affected by him or knows someone directly that has been affected by him. He was born in the year 1818. His name was Mawlana Rahmatullah al-Hindi al-Qayrawani. When the Mughal Empire was crashing and the Christian missionaries were taking the Muslim world by storm and the scholars of Islam, many of them honestly were bickering with each other just so they can preserve their egos. He wished for the Muslims to be safe, their children to be safe, their generations to be preserved. And so he sat by himself writing a book to teach the average person how to defend his faith in that crisis when you're hearing all these accusations. No printing press, he doesn't know how it's going to spread. This is what Allah made available to him. He exhausted his effort. If you're sincere, automatic, you exhaust. There's no disconnect between that, between heart and actions. It cannot be. So he put a book together called Idharul Haqq, exposing, making clear the truth. Maybe some of you now know the book. This book basically didn't get out as much at all. And the man dies. And a young Indian boy in South Africa, not in India, that's not a scholar, he's a tailor of clothes, comes across a copy of this book that's not even complete. It was half eaten by moths. And he studied it because the Christians were coming his way as well. And he becomes the greatest Muslim debater against the missionaries in our modern times. His name was Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah. And then Allah extends his life until he has students. Before he becomes incapacitated to speak, he produces certain icons for Islam. The most notable of them that you all know, Dr. Zakir Naik. And Dr. Zakir Naik puts together a channel back in India now. We go back to India from South Africa. A channel that has 1 million Muslim viewers and countless people becoming Muslim. And he was just invited in 2014 or early 2015 by the Saudi ministry, and they gave him the most accomplished Islamic worker in the world award and gave him $250,000 for his channel. Because of someone, he didn't know, is it going to work or not, but he exhausted everything he had. And now you all know, I have to get off the minbar in a minute. Don't think this is about the fundraiser. And had it been about the fundraiser, this is nothing for me to hold my head down about. You have this school. Wallahi, I know Islamic schools. And what I've come to know of this school, I am very proud to stand on this minbar and collect money for it. Schools, just Wednesday, a father, an Albanian father, told me I spent $26,000 over 4 years on my kid's Islamic school, and he knows 7 letters from the alphabet. From the Arabic alphabet. I know another Islamic school, also in Brooklyn, New York, that a girl came in. They tested her in 6th grade. What is the last name of the Prophet Muhammad? She said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She thought that was his last name. If that's the extent of your knowledge about your Prophet, then what in the world are you going to be able to handle when the accusations come your way left and right? And by the blessing and bounty of Allah, Allah has blessed you with a community that has chosen to raise the bar. And you may not know this, but the whole world is looking at your community. They really are about raising our standards and producing ambassadors for Islam. And alhamdulillah, you live in a time and place where we have an opportunity to show Allah we're sincere. To show Allah, just as we raise the flag of this house and that house and this car company and that car company, I can easily sacrifice. The point is, show Allah what it means to you. I can easily sacrifice on this occasion, and I promise you, O Allah, here on this first Friday of Ramadan, that this will only be the beginning. I will exert my effort whenever you open a door for me. I will feel privileged whenever I see an opportunity. If I can sacrifice to spend 20, I will spend 20 in the next year. If I can do 10, I can do 5. And we get off to make the salah now. Ask Allah to make this blessed hour the change in your life. Ask Allah to transform your life by granting you access to Him. And ask Him to make you a reason for the transformation of the world. CNN already knew it. We're going to be double in 2050. How in the world? Allah knows. May Allah give us a way to wedge ourselves into this caravan. May Allah make us pleased with Him and make Him pleased with us. Say Ameen. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna. Wa ila ghayrika la takilna. Allahumma arda anna. Allahumma arda anna. Allahumma arda anna. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها سرها وعلانيتها أولها وآخرها اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا اللهم إنا نسألك الإخلاص في القول والعمل وفي السر والعلن اللهم اغفر لنا هزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا وكل ذلك عندنا اللهم رحماك بالمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم اغفر لآبائنا وأمهاتنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم وارحم الأموات اللهم استرنا فوق الأرض وارحمنا تحت الأرض ولا تخزنا يوم العرض عليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.